Hari
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, page 43. Ajamil continues, "Alas, all condemnation upon me. I acted so sinfully that I degraded my family tradition. Indeed, I gave up my chaste and beautiful young wife to have sexual intercourse with a fallen prostitute accustomed to drinking wine. All condemnation upon me." Srila Prabhupada comments, "This is the mentality of one who is becoming a pure devotee. When one is elevated to the platform of devotional service by the grace of the Lord and the spiritual master, one first regrets his past sinful activities. This helps one advance in spiritual life." Because then you see, it's whatever's been done before that's useless. It's only the devotional service that's of value. The Vishnu Dutas had given Ajamil the chance to become a pure devotee. And the duty of a pure devotee is to regret his past sinful activities in illicit sex, intoxication, meat-eating, and gambling. Not only should one give up past bad habits, but he should also always regret his past sinful acts. This is the standard of pure devotion. So he knows this is wrong, so he just doesn't get involved in it anymore. But why is it wrong? It's not just because it's bad itself. It's because it doesn't please Krishna. That's why there's lamentation. Right? Or not lamentation, but regret. Right? So it's always regret. Notice he probably doesn't say lamentation. Yeah. He always regrets. Because that means all that time he wasn't pleasing Krishna. So we've left Krishna, we haven't been, so that's why they can maintain that humility. Because even if they're on an advanced platform now, still, in the past they weren't. Does that make sense? Ajamil continues, "My father and mother were old and had no other son or friend to look after them. Because I did not take care of them, they lived with great difficulty. Alas, like an abominable lower class man, I ungratefully left them in that condition." Srila Prabhupada comments, "According to Vedic civilization, everyone has a responsibility for taking care of brahmanas, old men, women, children, and cows." Right? So it says here, everyone. So it's not just certain people do this. Everybody has that responsibility. So then whatever you can do, you take care. Right? Like that. So that's the point of this is human society. Right? This is the duty of everyone. Especially an upper class person. Because of his association with the prostitute, Ajamil abandoned all his duties. Regretting this, Ajamil now considered himself quite fallen. Right? That's good. Yes? Brahmins means giving in charity and supporting in that way. Right? Old men means then, you know, they're taken care of, either facilities are given or something is given. Yeah. No, it goes beyond. Women means you're always, well, especially with women in your family, but any other women you're dealing with nicely. Children you always deal with nicely. Cows you always deal with nicely. So in other words, these persons are never dealt with badly. Like that. So that's human standard. Right? It's not that this one. So we see is that sometimes due to issues, cows become prominent. They haven't for a while. I think back in the 90s, cows were big. Children back in the 90s and still a little left over now. Women, you know, before is coming up now and then going down, up and down like that. Old men, just 2 years ago, then they started with that. Brahmins, that will never happen. Don't worry.
Because we're all Brahmins.
We're all Brahmins, but, you know, that's means no one in the West makes an issue out of Brahmins. But in the West, they make an issue out of old men, women, children, and cows. That's why. That's all. It means if they weren't doing it, we wouldn't do it. But the point is, human life means we do this whether anybody else is doing or not. So that's the whole idea. Ajamil continues, right? Why is this? Because the Brahmins are the ones that train everybody. They're the ones who worship the Lord. They're the ones who, you know, establish the standards. So that means whole society go on. Old men, they're in the position they're going to die. So they should be in a good position so that they can remember Krishna and go back to Godhead. Women, because that's how everything develops. Everything centered, culture is also, civilization is all centered around the women, right? Because they're the women, they're the children, they're the mothers, they're the daughters, they're the, daughters, they're the sisters, that, you know, this, the whole thing centers around them, right? Children, because they'll be trained, they'll grow up in Krishna consciousness. If they're not taken care of, they won't grow up nicely. Cows, and they provide the milk and all that that's used for sacrifice, offering to Krishna, for finer brain tissues, the whole, right? So if these are all taken care of, the rest of it will happen. You don't take care of these, you can't. So devotees ask, how to establish Varnashram? Just take care of these. Right? We always start with growing carrots. Right? If there's dirt under your fingernails and growing carrots, we have Varnashram. But actually it's these five. Ajamil continues, it is now clear that as a consequence of such activities, a sinful person like me must be thrown into hellish conditions meant for those who have broken religious principles and must there suffer extreme miseries. Was this a dream I saw, or was it reality? I saw fearsome men with ropes in their hands coming to arrest me and drag me away. Where have they gone? And where have those four liberated and very beautiful persons gone who released me from arrest and saved me from being dragged down to the hellish regions? I am certainly most abominable and unfortunate to have merged in an ocean of sinful activities, right? Because he doesn't consider he's done one or two here and there, you know. Like, oh, basically okay, but, you know, here and there is a little weakness. So here it's a merged in an ocean of sinful activities. But nevertheless, because of my previous spiritual activities, I could see those four exalted personalities who came to rescue me, right? Because that's not lost. Right? He wasn't offensive in his behavior, so that means just whatever service he'd done before, it just stops. Right? And then now, based on that, chanting the holy name, then these things come up again, and so the. Now I feel exceedingly happy because of their visit. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. There must have been some auspicious acts as a cause for seeing the best of the devatas. One must assume the mercy of some devotee, because without that, the seed of bhakti cannot be sown. And because of that mercy, he called his son Narayan. So that's the point, is that we get bhakti only through the devotees. It doesn't come on our own like that. That's why the first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme the devotees, because that's where we get the mercy from. Srila Prabhupada adds, by the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, one receives the seed of bhakti. This association saves a devotee from the greatest fear. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we therefore change a devotee's name to a form that reminds him of Vishnu. If at the time of death a devotee can remember his own name, such as Krishna Das or Govinda Das, he can be saved from the greatest danger. Therefore, the change of names at the time of initiation is essential. Right? Because remembering your own name, you hear that, people ask, what's your name? You're chanting the names. Other people's names, you're chanting the names. Right? That's the idea, is that everybody's got names connected with Krishna, therefore we're always absorbed in Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement is so meticulous that it gives one an opportunity, a good opportunity, to remember Krishna somehow or other. Right? By the situation, others, people calling you, calling others' names, something, right? Yeah, that's right. So meticulous means down to point. So Prabhupada doesn't do general. He gives, you know, details that will work for everybody. Right? And then if there's need of a finer point within that, then he gives the method how to do it. Right? That's why there's no need to, you know, make up our own, do our own, like that. Because we don't understand these things. Like that. Does that make sense? Ajamil continues, "Were it not for my past devotional service, how could I, a most unclean keeper of a prostitute, have gotten an opportunity to chant the holy name of Vaikunthapati when I was just ready to die? Certainly, it could not have been possible." Ajamil continued, "I am a shameless cheater who has killed his Brahminical culture. Indeed, I am sin personified. Where am I in comparison to the all auspicious chanting of the holy name of Lord Narayana?" 33-34. In his purport to verse 34, Srila Prabhupada comments, "Those engaged in broadcasting the holy name of Narayana, Krishna, through the Krishna consciousness movement, should always consider that our position, what our position was before we came and what it is now. We had fallen into abominable lives as meat-eaters, drunkards, and woman-hunters who performed all kinds of sinful activities. But now we have been given the opportunity to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity." Right? That, otherwise, we get distracted and, you know, think that, no, I deserve this, or I worked hard for this, or, you know, what am I getting for all what I put into this or that? And, no, we should always remember where we were from, right? Like that. And by going through previous things before, that we realize what happens to someone who's been through what we went through. Yeah. You know, it's not that when those listing of the 26 major hells that we didn't, you know, qualify ourselves for at least one, if not many. Yes. You know, yes. Right? So therefore, by the grace of the Vaishnavas, by the grace of Krishna, then we're able to be involved in Krishna consciousness. So then that always keeps things in a nice perspective. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense?
That's it's difficult when devotees are kind of criticizing each other to maintain this mood.
That's why then one distances self on the social platform from that environment. Service we do in this, but socially we don't have to get involved with individuals who are like that. We're not obligated.
In preaching context, sometimes it's almost unavoidable.
Means the karmis?
No, the devotees. If you preach, you will have devotees who think you're preaching wrong.
Then find another place. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Preach there and then move on. And then they can preach in the way they're preaching and get the same results of not getting anything that they've been getting for years. You know what I'm saying? The point is what works is what should be done, and if people don't like that, then why join this movement? You know, try Ananda Mohima or something, you know, or something like that. You know, Rishikesh is full of people, Haridwar is full of people, but the only problem is you'll find it's more austere than what we do. So, you know, we're stuck. Right? You know, like you see, devotees leave ISKCON, join other mats, but when they come to Mayapur for festival, they stay with us because they can't live over there with the Bengali brahmacharis and all that. They just can't do it. So, Prashadam, the whole thing, yeah. You know, so it's just, you know, like that. So it's all nice, but the point is if it works, then what's the problem? You know, the problem is we think we know what the karmis think, but we don't know what the karmis think. The karmis know what the karmis think, and you preach nicely and they like what you do.
Sometimes the karmis don't even know.
That's another thing. But still, they like what you talk about. Yeah. So then, what's the problem?
No. Exactly.
So therefore, go somewhere else. You know, Prabhupada said, there'll be a time when, you know, the preachers and brahmacharis won't be welcome at the temples. So then they'll preach somewhere else. You know, so it'll happen. You know, and then it'll go back to normal.
Yeah.
Everybody gets their chance. So.
I've seen that in a couple of places.
Yeah, so just go somewhere else. Because the point is it's a voluntary movement. Everybody's joining with all their different baggages. So some baggages are compatible baggages, and some are not compatible baggages. That's all. So it doesn't matter what you have. It's not good.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, I remember Priti Bardhana. He would go to Calcutta, and he found this one guy. He made bags. You know, luggage bags out of old fire engine hoses. You know, so that real, real tough canvas, and it's waterproof. Mm-hmm. And so it's like the perfect Indian bag, like that. But it's perfect. But at the same time, others will think, you know, what's this ratty bag, dirty, funky bag? But it's like, You put stuff in there, it's guaranteed it's going to get you, going to come out clean and dry. You know? Does that make sense? You know, while I mentioned that one devotee came from the West, he had just bought this very new on the market, brand new company called Le Sports Sac. Kind of high-end, kind of luggage made out of, what's it called? Parachute. Mm-hmm. Parachute. You know, really strong, really durable and great for the West, but in India, you know, the first rickshaw he got into, he ripped a hole in it. You know, in the West, you could toss it around, stomp on it, anything. But over here, just put it down in a rickshaw and it's history, right? You know? So I saw the bag, said, wow, cool bag. He says, you want it? You know? Like that, you know? Okay, $5, you know? Like that. Probably cost him, I don't know, 60, 100, or I don't know, who knows, but, you know, $5, okay, you know? And then, you know, so here it was just a funky bag, right? Then it was really, really funny. We went to L.A., and I think Bhavananda there was somebody, and they'd been out, you know, probably looking around Rodeo Drive, and he needed some new bags, and he saw the Sports Sack. You know, it's all these high-end shops, right? And so he got, you know, the bag. And then when we go to the airport to fly up to San Francisco, then he's sitting, you know, on the side. I take all the luggage, you know, to go check in. And so then he's sitting there with his Le Sports Sac bag, and then he notices, I have a Le Sports Sac bag. And it's kind of like, I was at the temple. Where did you get that bag? He says, I had it in India. And I said, he just got the latest bag, and I already had it.
From India.
Yeah, from India. I didn't have to go to Rodeo Drive to get it. Right? You know, so...
$5.
Yeah. So that really yeah, that really was, you know, it's not supposed to be like that. So that's the whole point. Is it doesn't matter what it is. In one place it's great, another place it's not. This one, that. You know. So that's the whole point. Is that everybody's an individual. So they don't. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. They don't have to agree. They just have to be focused on Krishna. That's the whole point. Everybody doesn't have to agree. Everyone's an individual. But as long as the fundamental philosophy is there, then there's fun. But how you'll do something, it's just like you cook the halva. Somebody will say it's fabulous. Somebody says it's too much ghee. You use less ghee. Oh, where's the taste? You know, oh, too much sugar. You use less sugar. You know, it's just you can never... So you just make it how you like it, offer it to Krishna, and hurry it all. Yeah, at least you like it. Krishna likes it. You like it, and that. And they don't like it. Hey, you know. That's why. That's why God made walk-in refrigerators. So you can stick all the halva over there and eat it for the whole next week. Right? You understand? Is that a trailer? No, it's a walk-in refrigerator on wheels. Okay. You know, the point is find where it works, stick to those areas. You don't have to, you know, go everywhere and all that. Just go to wherever. You know, when Lord Chaitanya says every town and village, that doesn't mean you have to be in every town and village. It means somebody is in every town and village, right? Therefore, we should always appreciate this opportunity. We must be conscious of the difference between our present and past conditions and should always be very careful not to fall down from the most exalted life. Ajamil continues, I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life, and senses and always engage in devotional service so that I may not fall again into the deep darkness and ignorance of material life. Srila Prabhupada advises. Every one of us should have this determination. We have been elevated to an exalted position by the mercy of Krishna and the spiritual master. And if we remember that this is a great opportunity and pray to Krishna that we will not fall again, our lives will be successful. So that's the mood, the attitude. Ajamil continues. Because of identifying oneself with the body, one is subjected to desires for sense gratification. And thus, one engages in many different types of pious and impious actions. Right? If you identify with the body is made of senses, you have to engage the senses. You don't identify with the body, you don't have to engage the senses in sense gratification, only service. Right? This is what constitutes material bondage. Now I shall disentangle it. So someone who's attached to piety is also, you know, has a problem with impiety. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So those that are the most vocal about impiety means they're the most attached to piety. Otherwise, you see Narad Muni and others, they're not worried how sinful you were. It's a matter of, you know, are you, now it's time to stop and move on. Right? They never talk about retribution. Right? The Narad Muni and the hunter, did he talk about, oh, you're so sinful, you're going to go to hell? No. You just say, you start chanting now. So that's just the way it works. Yes?
We see that in our movement, people are not so much worried about karmas, how old they are.
No, just about devotees. No, that's the whole point, is that, see, he's in the movement, he's doing this nonsense. No, but this other point, you know, is outside the movement doing all nonsense, they're outside. You know, so this is attachment to pious activities. It's not an attachment to devotional service. Point is, if someone does something wrong, point is at least they're around. But it's like it's more glorious, you know, you're outside. No, you're trying, and then you have some problems. So then you get it together. It's supposed to be, that's the point of giving support. How then they can move forward in Krishna consciousness. But of course, they have to have a mood to match it. If they're not interested in moving forward, then what can you do also? But the point is that there's too much focus on sin. And you see, that's why these chapters are here in the sixth canto. So that we give up, because we've given up our attachment to Dharma was so difficult, yes. Right? You know,
that was a tough one.
Yeah, that was a tough one, you know, like that. And so now he's moving down to the you know platform that's more akin to what we're used to. And we have to give up attachment to that also, like that. So. So many sense. You know, we'll get down, you know, ones that sense gratification or other things. That up to now, we don't really see that much. Right? You know, because one has to mature to be able to deal. So,
How can we differentiate between regret and
tolerance? Regret means this happened. And so now that shouldn't happen again, and by the Lord's mercy we're here, but it's regretful that we forgot Krishna and got involved in all those things. We're supposed to do proper things for Krishna, we didn't. Right? While then lamentation is, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I did this, I'm so useless, it's all about me. Well, the other is, it's about, I've done these things. I, as a soul, in polluted consciousness, got involved in things I shouldn't have. So I regret that I did that. Now I'll stop that. But lamentation, it's an identity. That's the difference. Lamentation, you identify with what's wrong. And regret, it's that you don't identify. That's how you can see it. Right? When he was identifying with it, he couldn't see it. But now that he's not identifying with it by the association of the Vishnu Dutas, now he can see it.
He speaks like a Brahmana.
Yes, he's speaking like a pure Vaishnava. Yes, that's the whole point. Then he comes back to the Brahminical platform. That's the point. Yeah. Does that make sense? So that's for ourselves. And for others, it's a matter of, just like we have to be able to let it go, others have to be able to let it go. So all that's the whole thing, is that that's what I was saying before. Some want to see the regret, but their point, regret means lamentation.
Yes.
Like that. It's just like most can't define the difference between need and desire. Mm-hmm. Right? So in the same way as we can't tell the difference between regret and lamentation. Because lamentation is the mode of ignorance. Regret's knowledge. So regret is in the mode of goodness, while lamentation is in the mode of ignorance.
And we have aversion in the mode of passion?
Regretful of lamentation. Hey. Yeah. So you know, you just have to get the proportion right of enough goodness and enough ignorance so that it gets just the middle of the passion, otherwise then it may go one way or the other. Okay. Now I shall disentangle myself from my material bondage, right? Because he's entangled in pious and impious, which has been caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead's illusory energy in the form of a woman. Right? So he got into Maya because of his attraction to a woman. You know, someone may be money, someone is power, someone is, you know, anything. But the point is ultimately it's all the illusory energy, which is feminine, so everybody can say in the form of a woman. Right? Because mostly it's not the mood of a woman. Right? It'll be the form. Right? So, you know, the car, it has a form. Money, it's the form. Right? It's like, I know I have a lot of money, but then you look on the, like on the computer and the page and you see all the numbers and all that, you know, and then that's when you feel, I have money. You know, or here, I have my car, or I have my nice clothes, or I have my nice house, or, you know, look where it is, you know. Or look at the view, right? You know, how much air rights you had to buy to keep that. You know, you understand? So that's the whole thing, is all these things are, it's the form of it that we get attached to. And then, because we have the form, then you can do things with it to get results. But much of the time we have more forms than we'll use. So you see, we're more attached to forms than activity. Right? So therefore, more on that part of the sambandha side. But in the material world, the sambandha is based on ignorance. There's more ignorance. We don't see necessarily goals we'll get out of it. Just having it's a goal. Does that make sense? You know, that's the problem. Does that make sense? So that's why you can say energy in the form of a woman. And that applies to all living entities. That's why we're here. Being a most fallen soul, I was victimized by the illusory energy, and I had become like a dancing dog led around by a woman's hand. Right? So, as the modes of nature take you around, then you go happily. Right? So that's the dancing dog led around by the... Because Maya just takes you around. She's Triguna Mayi. You know, or in detail, then whatever the prostitute wanted, however that's how he moved. That's what he arranged. Right? So he was... So either way, in general or in detail, then, you know, like that. Now I shall give up all lusty desires and free myself from this illusion. Right? So lusty means anything that's connected with the form of the material energy. Right? The beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, renunciation, power, anything. I shall become a merciful, well-wishing friend to all living entities and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada instructs. This should be the standard of determination for all Krishna conscious persons. A Krishna conscious person should free himself from the clutches of Maya, and he should also be compassionate to all others suffering in those clutches. Yes?
We were talking once that this is also well-wishing friend to Surinam Sarvabhauma.
Yes, but this is and always absorb myself in Krishna consciousness. So this well-wishing friend means he won't do anything to disturb anyone. So it's more that he acts in such a way that no one gets he doesn't create any problems for anyone. That's the Suridham. So if there is interaction, he'll be nice with everybody. But it's about the generic point of he'll deal properly with any living entity. The other one, the materialistic Suridham Sarvabhutana, you go out of your way to make sure that everybody knows you're their friend. You know, does that make sense? And they're always fighting for everybody, but you'll see if you analyze it, it's a very specific niche of people. So that's you know, so the point of being everyone's friend is not a problem, but it has to be from the point of seeing everyone equally. The activities of the Krishna conscious movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. That's why we generally look at it, oh, you know, how we dress or how we do everything, the kirtana. You know, I don't like that. I don't want to be like that. But the point is it's not just about us. It's about others also. You know, does that make sense? You know, you have our name. People ask what your name is. You say your name. You know, like that. Then they get to say Krishna's name. Rather than, oh, they won't understand that, so. You know, unless you have a name like Bhakti John, you know, Jana, yeah. J-A-N-A, but you know, from Bengali you say Bhakti John. Yeah. So people ask him what his name was, you know, you could just say John.
John.
Okay, cool.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Like that, devotees would call him Bhakti, right? Yeah. You know, so, you know, it works out. You know Bhakti John? His deities, I think, were... I'm not sure if they kept changing them. At one time, they were Radha Chinatown Ishwara. Because he used to preach in Chinatown. Yes.
London Ishwara, you got Paris
Ishwara. Yeah, you got Chinatown Ishwara. Yeah. No, so he was a very far out person. He was the one that said about the Brahmacharini that came to Mayapur, and the other Brahmacharis, ooh, that was that's real Maya. Oh, I just, you know, and the other one, yeah, just stool in here, this and that. And Bhakti John said, yeah, but she's got all the stool in all the right places. Like that. So, yeah, that's Bhakti John. He's a very unique person. Yes. Why doesn't work the other way? I guess because the material world is kind of meant for going down, so. You know what I'm saying? Because you have the element of, how you say, this will be a, how you say, it may sound like a Taoist sutra. How you say? There's control in submission. Right? Make sense? Okay. That's something that women understand, men generally don't. So that's why it can work one way, but not the other. See, men think to get their control, they have to control. Women know you get your control by submission. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why the woman then can move up. But it'll be very hard for the man to move up because he thinks he has to control. But if he is in control, it means he has to be submissive. But that side is finessed. Right? You don't notice it. Does that make sense? So the woman, you see that submissive side. But that makes her in control. And the men, you see the control side, but that means he's submissive. Does that make sense? But it's not that you couldn't. I mean, Bilba Mangala, it worked out good for him. Right? You know? Like that. So she instructed and he took it. Like that. So it also just depends on the individual and their ability. Like that. You know, it means just like how you say. Some of the best, you know, I don't know how you'd say it. Not lectures, but best pointers on brahmacharya. Brahmacharis I've seen given by Brahmin women. Like that. I see a brahmachari who's generally good at being a brahmachari. He gets distracted by something. And then I've seen a few times with these, you know, women who have a brahminical nature, you know, that know them, just come in, say a few things, and straighten them right out. You know, because they know women and they know how it works, and so they just say this and don't get distracted. So it can work, but you see it's more rare. Does that make sense? That's why Anuloma is preferred to Pratiloma. Right? Generally, equal nature is the best, but if not, if the woman's a little lower nature, she'll come up. Even if she's a lot lower nature, if she's really sincere and determined, then she can come up however far it is. But generally, you see, Pratiloma, it's never recommended. No one changes. right? The king marries a Brahmin. He doesn't become a Brahmin. Right? She has to function within the Kshatriya environment. So that's why it's not recommended. Especially the artist and somebody higher, you know, which is, now it's not so big, but in Bohemian time that was really big, you know. Mm-hmm. Was it Simon and Garfunkel, if I was a carpenter and you were a lady? You know, that one. Like that. So that was, well, you know, he's just a carpenter artist, but she's, you know, a high class lady. So. You see, a lot of times they do that to break things like that. Popular in India now, you know, high class lady marries a Muslim guy, you know, that kind of stuff. Bollywood. So, meant to make trouble. Yeah, of course. Huh? No, I think Shah Rukh's wife is Hindu. Shah Rukh. Shah Rukh Khan. No?
I don't even know who he is.
Yeah, he even knows who he is. Yeah, Aishwarya. No, then you wouldn't have seen him so much. If you had seen Ronnie, then you would see Shah Rukh. No?
The second richest,
Second richest. And first?
First in India and second in
Hawaii. Oh, first in India.
India and second in
India. Yeah, he's good. I would have thought Amitabh would have been the richest.
Cricket.
Calcutta cricket guys. Okay. Yeah. You know, owns the team there, right? The Knights or something. Oh well. Moving on. Sorry?
There's something more familiar,
yes. Okay. The activities of the Krishna conscious movement are meant not only for oneself, but for others also. That we get benefit, others get benefit. This is the perfection of Krishna consciousness, right? Everybody gets benefit. One who is interested in his own salvation is not as advanced in Krishna consciousness as one who feels compassion for others and who therefore propagates the Krishna consciousness movement. Such an advanced devotee will never fall down, for Krishna will give him special protection. That is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that's the sum and substance is we will then work for others' benefit. That's the advancement. Ajamil continues, simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Right? So now we see his purification is complete with this point. His regret is the first stage. Right, that you can actually see it, you know, you have the knowledge, there's the regret. Now we come to the second stage, now the determination not to do this again.
Yes.
Like that. So according to Manu, he's now fully purified. Yes. Right? That's why the Vishnu Buddha said, you know, he doesn't need to be purified.
Right.
Yes?
We usually say that it should be balanced as much as the person one way, so it should be the other. So in this logic then, the more formed the person is, the better he will be in Krishna consciousness.
No. What we're saying is, to that degree that regret is there, to that degree that determination is there. That's where the balance is.
So the regret should be there.
Regret for the past, but then that determination to not do that. Then that's balanced. Because someone's done all kinds of nonsense, it all balances out because, you know, you go from Brahma down to the Indragopa germ, back up to Lord Brahma, back down like this. So in that way it's balanced. It's not necessarily all in one lifetime. But it's not an uncommon thing that someone who is so focused in material life that he's doing all nonsense, when he comes to Krishna consciousness, if he applies the same focus, he'll be very good in Krishna consciousness. Right? So somebody who's, you know, a nebbish on the material platform may also tend to be a bit of a nebbish on the spiritual platform. But the point is, he's a spiritual nebbish, so, you know, no problem. He'll advance. He'll go on.
What's a nebbish?
A nebbish. A nebbish means basically a... I don't know what would be the...
Like a dysfunctional guy.
A dysfunctional loser. You know, their motto is, what me worry? Right? Okay. You know, in other words, what's this? Can you remember? The mascot for Mad Magazine? He's a nebbish.
Oh, yeah.
Alfred E. Newman.
Yes.
He's a nebbish. No? Also, too esoteric.
It's very deep, Shastra.
It's a good thing that I stopped using all my examples of how, you know, when the meteor hit, and then the darkness, and then, you know, the dinosaurs, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, the ones about Lincoln. You
yeah.
know.
There was a time around 3 years ago you used a lot of examples that just went...
Yeah. So the problem is because I guess because of the particular, you know, the age now is it? What, information age? Everything's on the... So if you're not on the latest Vine and latest this, then you don't know, you can't. Yeah.
Degradation of modern education.
Yeah, yeah, but it's moving even faster. The other ones at least went for a little while, but now it's like, gone. I'm going to have to buy a nerd magazine or something and see what's going on.
What examples to use?
Yeah, yeah. Now I have become fixed in the absolute truth. Henceforward, I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments. How a living entity becomes a victim of the material condition is lucidly explained in this verse. The beginning is to misidentify the body as oneself. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita begins with the spiritual instructions that one is not the body, but is within the body. This consciousness can be possible only if one chants the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and always keeps oneself in the association of devotees. This is the secret of success. So it's not that, oh, well, we're saying the Hare Krishna be other mantras. No, it can only be Hare Krishna. Because all other mantras other than Hare Krishna require material qualification to use them. Hare Krishna is the only one that doesn't require anything. Because it's before the Gayatri, it's the original mantra. So that means it's complete, it's independent. Then from that expand the Gayatris and all these other things. Does that make sense? Okay, so... Okay, so now as if we'll notice here is that he saw how fallen he was like that. Then he gives up that determination that I'm not going to identify in the body platform. I don't want any of these material things. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So we see he's coming up basically through what's defined in the Shikshastaka.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like that. Verses 39 to 49. Ajamil's pilgrimage and return to Vaikuntha. After giving up his sinful lifestyle, Ajamil went to Haridwar, where he began to where he again took up the process of devotional service. When Ajamil perfected his devotional practice, he again saw the same four order carriers of Lord Vishnu, and they awarded him with the spiritual form and escorted him back to the spiritual world. Right, so the same four came back. Right?
Yeah.
Definitely don't want to miss this one. You know, you got stories to tell here when you go back to, you know. Yeah, you know, he's preaching here. Ah, that's nothing, you know.
I got this guy.
Yes. You know, share Samkirtan stories, right? We think we're sitting around just in Vaikuntha, right? They're talking about their Samkirtan stories.
But they all look the same.
Yeah, but it says the same four, so we understand there must be some way to tell them apart up there.
I mean, it's like if I go to Greenland, all the Eskimos look the same. But for them...
We all look the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, I think it was, you know, I don't know, it's an American thing, all the Chinese look the same? Yeah, and so when I went to China, they kept calling me by a different name because they couldn't tell the difference between me and someone else. So I thought that was so funny, you know. Like that. So the point is yeah, anyone else, if you're not used to, you can't tell, you know. So yeah.
He got offended.
Really?
He went second time to China and they called him a different name.
You guys look the same, you know, all the same.
That is so funny. It is just like so hilarious. You know? It's like the shoes on the other foot. You know? That's really, really funny. Yeah. But it was sad. You know? Yeah. You know, this guy kind of come up and go, "Who's that?" And so I say, "Oh, that's this." "Oh, yeah, I can't tell the difference." Yeah. Yeah, because he's been in Kazakhstan, so he's used to those who look Chinese. So he's probably able to tell the difference in them. But they're not so used to the Westerners. That would really be annoying.
Probably see more of that in the future.
Yes. Okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continues. Because of a moment's association with devotees, the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil detached himself from the material conception of life with determination. Right, so this is then we see now he's on Nishta, right? But this is from a moment's association. So that's why it doesn't have to be more. Right? So that's the point, is that once by the association of devotees is advancing. So it doesn't mean if you have all the time, it's like one moment will do this, so what about if you have constant?
But maybe it also depends on the moment he's born.
What kind of moment?
No, because his moment was intense.
That may be, but whatever it takes.
He took full advantage.
Yes, that would be the thing. He took advantage. Like that. So, you know, by Krishna's grace, by the name of the holy name, then, so we pray to the holy name, we may be able to take advantage like this. Then. You know, so many moments are there, we can take advantage. Thus, freed from all material attraction, he immediately started for Haridwar. In Haridwar, Ajamil took shelter of the Vishnu temple. And there he executed the process of bhakti yoga. He controlled his senses and fully applied his mind in the service of the Lord. Ajamil fully engaged in devotional service. Thus, he detached his mind from the process of sense gratification and became fully absorbed in thinking of the form of the Lord. When his intelligence and mind were fixed upon the form of the Lord, the Brahman Ajamil once again saw before him four celestial persons. He could understand that they were those who he had seen previously, and thus he offered them obeisances by bowing down before him. Right. So he gets determined. From this determination, then he detaches himself. He gives up the taste for these other things. So you see, that's one of the. So his determination is his nishta, right? The giving up the attachment to these other things. We see that's what comes in ruchi, like that. Fully absorbed in thinking of the Lord. So that's going to be a sakti, or even, you know. Mm-hmm. Higher, but at least to that much. Mm-hmm. Right? So then he becomes fully absorbed, so then that means his samadhi, so that would take him up to the platform of you know, Purvarag, so now he's qualified. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It seems that he advances without the association of devotee in
It doesn't say that. He took shelter in a Vishnu temple, so I'm sure there's devotees. But the process, what you do in temples and worship and all those processes have all been described before. Yes. You know, Narad Muni's described and this and that. So the point we're getting here is just his attitude. That's the main thing. Because before we've described the processes of bhakti.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And now we've shown that of all processes, chanting is the best. Mm-hmm. And then we see here is that then there's the attitude which is there, which is very important. Because up to now, the attitude hasn't been, it's been mentioned, but it hasn't been the complete focus. So here we see just Ajamil's attitude. Right? Because even when it got into it, just shows a few things of the sinful life, just to give an idea. but it's more about his attitude. Right? That's why it always talks about the attachment to the process, the attachment to these things, to show the attitude is there. And now we see is this attitude is changing the other way. And so now because of that, now he becomes attached to Krishna and his service and the devotees. While the other one, he becomes attached to Maya and degrades himself. So we see is simply by that, the mood that one has, that places you either in the material or spiritual platform. Right? This is the real thing. It's not the other things that one's doing. Those are done because they're supposed to be done. Right? It means you have a form, forms do things. Right? So that's just the law. Right? It means an experience is there which we're trying to get. That's being done by an activity, and that activity is done by a form. Right? So the Jnana Shakti then supporting the Kriya Shakti then produces the environment, the results that the Icha Shakti then is appreciating. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's why then we do things. So that's, therefore we follow what's recommended. We don't make up our own. Right? Because if we make up our own, why would we make up our own? Based on what? Our own sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada comments. The Vishnadutus who had rescued Ajamil came before him again when his mind was firmly fixed upon the form of the Lord. The Vishnadutas had gone away for some time to give Ajamil a chance to become firmly fixed in meditation upon the Lord. Now that his devotion had matured, they returned to take him. Right? Because he wasn't ready at that time yet. Like that. But as we see before, they were already ordered to take him. Like that. But they first went, you know, saved him because he's chanting, so you don't expect to show up the Vishnadutas and have Yamadutas there. Right? You know, so they had to take care of that. And then, you know, because his mood had to, they could see the mood was developing, then they left for it to be cultivated.
It's also going to be one of the stories back when they're telling
yes,
the
Yamadutas
were
yes.
actually.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I can guarantee if a Yamaduta showed up so you could see him at one of these kind of alternative conferences, he'd be big.
Yeah.
Really big.
Sure.
Yeah.
Comic-Con or something.
Yeah. Maybe. He regained his original spiritual body. Okay, no, that was... Okay, Sri Sukadeva Goswami continues, upon seeing the Vishnu Dutas, Ajamil gave up his material body at Haridwar on the bank of the Ganges. He regained his original spiritual body, which was a body appropriate for an associate of the Lord. Accompanied by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, Ajamil boarded an airplane made of gold. Passing through the airways, he went directly to the abode of Lord Vishnu, the husband of the goddess of fortune. Right, so then, you know, the Supreme Lord, husband of the goddess of fortune, so you bring it to that Bhagavan aspect. Right? Ajamil was a Brahmana who, because of bad association, had given up all Brahminical culture and religious principles. Becoming most fallen, he stole, drank, and performed other abominable acts. He even kept a prostitute. Thus, he was destined to be carried away to hell by the order carriers of Yamaraj. But he was immediately rescued simply by a glimpse of the chanting of the holy name of Narayana. So a glimpse is the Nama Bhav. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. So by always remembering about the Lord, we are get the benefit of being at all the holy places. Because if we take shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, that's where all the holy places are. That's what makes them holy, right? Because that's where the Lord's feet are. Right? One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga. Because even after following such methods, right? Meditation, it doesn't say yoga, it says mystic yoga. Mm-hmm. So that means that mystic side, we have to at some point leave, yeah. Because even after following such methods, one takes to fruit of activities again, unable to control his mind. So that's the point, is no matter which path you go into, it'll always come back to fruit of activities.
Because there's a certain flavor we want in that.
Yes, because we're a person. We want taste. So just the mystic things, but how personal is it? Liberation, how personal is it? Right? So therefore, we have to come back into the world of dealing with people and therefore interacting based on things and all that kind of stuff. Now, it doesn't say whether that's pious or impious. Yeah, in other words, we're going to spend most of the time in pious and impious karma, and then sometimes in jnana and mystic yoga, like that. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation and mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance, right? Because we're under the control of the modes of nature. The laws of nature do control. They run everything. Now it's a matter of, are we controlled by them, or is our consciousness freed from that, so we're only engaging them in the Lord's service? Maya's engaged in the Lord's service, so her running of the modes in that way is her service to the Lord. Therefore, then, we can be also engaging those modes to serve the Lord. It doesn't mean what Maya she's up to, that we go along with that and say, service to Krishna, I'm just helping Maya do her service. That one won't work.
I follow my authority.
Sorry?
I follow my authority.
Maya's my authority. Yes.
Servant of the servant.
Yes. Yes. In his purport to text 26, Srila Prabhupada comments, it has actually been seen that even after achieving so-called perfection, right? That's what we call it, so-called. Perfection means being on the liberated platform. Many karmis, jnanis, and yogis become attached to material activities again. Many so-called swamis and yogis give up material activities as false, jagan mitya. But after some time, they nevertheless resume material activities by opening hospitals and schools or performing other activities for the benefit of the public, right? So, therefore, you see, is these things, they take so long for these to go along and all that, like that. But the power of the holy name is such that, you see, we can come to these platforms very quickly.
Yeah.
Like that. But that's because of the power of the holy name. By our conditioning, we wouldn't do these things. Yes. Sometimes they participate in politics, although still falsely declaring themselves sannyasis, members of the renounced order. The perfect conclusion, however, is that if one actually desires to get out of the material world, he must take to devotional service, which begins with Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord. The Krishna consciousness movement has actually proved this. In the Western countries, many young boys who were addicted to drugs and who had many other bad habits, which they could not give up, abandoned all those propensities and very seriously engaged in chanting the glories of the Lord as soon as they joined the Krishna consciousness movement. In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in Raja and Tama, passion and ignorance. I'm not even sure that some places, it's even amongst the karmas, it's recognized. You know, town officials and stuff like that, sometimes people with real problems, if they're young, then they have them do stuff with us. Because they know the records of people who become devotees and what they were before, and so then I've heard of cases where the mayor, whatever it is, somebody in some place, either the town council, the police, bring somebody and say, can you do something with this guy, because they can't do like that.
Social
workers bring him. Yeah, so like that. So it's just seen that we can do this because others can't. Like a social worker can work with somebody who there's a spark of some goodness there.
Yeah.
Right? There's something to work with. But if there's nothing to work with, then they can't do anything. Yeah, so then send it to us. And by chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, then these things come. Like that. I remember in Calcutta, this one devotee joined. And from him, his whole family, I think, joined. He was the gentlest, softest, most humble person I'd practically ever seen. Probably actually ever seen. And, you know, they were a business family, you know, old, you know, established family in Calcutta. And, you know, they had a place, I think it was a business, they dealt with cars, you know, fixed cars and did a whole thing. So they had quite a big scene going on. And so gentle and nice and cultured and everything like that. And then one day had some other people that knew the family, because there were all kinds of friends, many times they'd all come out. And I don't know, somehow or another came up of, you know, how they got interested in Krishna consciousness. And they says, you didn't know this guy before. He says, if you knew this guy before, he was like the scourge of Bengali gentlemen. Just so rough and nasty and like that. He himself said previously he would not eat one leg less than a full chicken every day. You know, that was his point. You know, that he ate that every day. You know, so the point, he was so nasty and rough and cutthroat and that, you know, real like Jagai Madai. So when he became a devotee and he became so gentle and cultured, then the other guys thought, wow, what is this Hare Krishna movement? We got to check this out. Like that. And so then they also became life members and got involved, came to Mayapur and stuff like that. So that's the point, is it does work. That's what Prabhupada says. It's been proven. Like that. So like that, there's so many stories. Remember another guy, real, you know, Italian paisano, you know, actual mafia. You know, not just, you know, he was a rough guy, he was actually mafia. You know? But he was so gentle and submissive and everything like that. Though you wouldn't want to make him upset. That you do not want to do.
Maybe he was thinking that he
was
also some mafia.
Yes. maybe. But no, he was really nice like that. And I remember this one other boy, he came here, he was in the school, really, really gentle and, you know, like dad doing everything like this. And then after some time, you know, then him and his brother went back to their country. And then I, you know, some years later, you know, many years later, had gone and was on a program in the country and met him. And the guy had this whole thing, you know, he talked, I think, Krav Marg and to police, to military, to things like that. And, you know, really tough guy, you know, and then he was talking about what he was like before he joined. You know, even like when he was 12 or 10, he was part of a gang. And not just, you know, a little kid gang, rough, tough, you know, really, you know, actual, you know, on the police's watch list gang. But then it comes to Krishna consciousness and he's so gentle. Like that. So that's the, you see, it works like that. So there are examples of really rough, really gentle. Is that okay? In other words, this process is the perfect method of atonement for actions performed in Rajas and Tamas, passion and ignorance. That will purify. Right? Other processes, if you're in goodness, they can do something with you. Or your passion or ignorance, they can basically engage your passion or ignorance in a regulated way. But they won't dynamically uplift one. Right? Srila Sukadeva Goswami concludes, because this very confidential historical narration has the potential to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body, and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas, who carry out the orders of Yamaraj, do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, you know, so you don't have to worry they're around the corner and like that. After giving up his body, he returns home back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. Right? We see like when Gopal Kumar went back to Godhead, Krishna took care so nicely and everything like that. So. Back to Godhead. Okay. Oh, God. That's yeah, just here's the verse and he's gone. Okay. not letting a moment. That's determination. Yeah. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord, and although the chanting was directed towards the sun, he nevertheless returned home back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Footnote 25. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns verse 49 to Bhagavad Arkamrita-yamala, chapter 13, entitled Sadhana Bhakti Executed Exclusively by Taking Shelter of the Holy Name. Aikantiki Namashraya Sadhana Bhakti, which is in the Abhideya section of the book. Right? So he sees this whole pastime is all just about exclusively taking shelter of the Lord. You don't see any other process described. Right? It means hearing, chanting, and naturally remembering, but it's based on chanting. Right? So does that make sense?
Yes.
Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Concluding the story, Sugadev Goswami gives the conclusion about the glories of the name in one sentence. In order to give full understanding, he chanted without faith. He chanted because he was dying. What will happen if one chants with faith? He chanted while dying. What will happen if one chants while living? Right? He chanted without faith, right? Because he was dying. So what will happen if someone chants with faith? Right? So much more. He got this for chanting. Right, like that. Then it says he chanted while dying. He didn't chant before. So what will happen if one chants while living? Right. So if one chants while living with faith, then so much, you know, so much. It's a glorious position. That, yeah. He chanted to indicate his son. What will happen if one chants to indicate the Lord? Ajamil was most sinful. What will happen if a sinless person chants? Right, he was sinful and he chanted. That clears all the sin. Then if there's no sin and you chant, then, yeah. Right? These four conditions are mentioned. Right? So he's bringing out like that. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
While suffering the time of death, he chanted the holy name. Although the chant was directed to the son, he nevertheless returned back to Godhead. So he's giving those, and so therefore, if you look at the other side, what happens if one spends one's life chanting with faith? Then things will work out very nicely. Srila Prabhupada adds, at the time of death, one is certainly bewildered because his bodily functions are in disorder. At that time, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name, right? Because you're trying to chant, so it'll work. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. Yes.
We see now more and more devotees that live in their bodies. Sometimes they are unable to chant, but somebody else chants for them.
Well, as long as they're thinking and stuff like that, you know, because it says sometimes it's hard to chant distinctly because the body doesn't allow. But the point is that they're thinking of the Lord or thinking, you know, you can chant in the mind also. But yes, others should chant and everything because that reminds. Yeah. So it's all, every means, in other words, do everything. Yes. Important verses. Shanket Yam. So many important verses. Shanket Yam Parihasyam Va Stobam Helanam Eva Va Vaikunta Nama Grahanam Ase Shagha Haram Vidhu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all learned scholars of the scriptures. Right? So, just chanting the holy name, no matter what one's position, that's what we should be focused on. That's the main thing. 6:2:15, Patita, Skalito, Bhagna, Sandastas, Tapta, Ahata. Harir ityavise naha puman narhati yatanah. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of an accidental misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. Right. Yes? They're there, or like Bhaktivinoda Thakur is highlighted, one or the other. Generally, it's ideally you get ones that are both, but ideally they're ones that have been both. But yeah, these will be, that I know these would have been taken from ones that Prabhupada would quote. Six to 16. Guru nam cha lagunam cha guru ni cha laguni cha prayas chitani papanam yatvoktani maharshibhi. Authorities who are learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, however, vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. That way you don't have to worry about judging them. Because only if you judge according to Shastra, you know what's heavy and what's light. Because sometimes in the Vedas, what's considered light, in the modern what's considered heavy, or what the Vedas consider heavy, we'll consider light. Does that make sense? So if we go by that, then we may be giving punishments too strong or too light for the actual situation. But if someone chants the holy name, then it's all absolved, and then you've made the perfect,
yes,
you know, decision.
Is it perfect?
Yes. The perfect atonement. 6 to 17. Taistanyagani punyante tapodana vratadibhi na dharmajam tad dridhayam tad apish shangri sevaya. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart, right? So they'll come back. However, if one serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, it's immediately free from all such contaminations. So the root goes away. So depending on how serious you are, then it goes away. That goes away more. But the sins go away just in one chanting. But the reactions, then, you know, and it's that the sins have gone away, but now it's just a matter of reactions. How will they come? Will they come in a, you know, in their normal form? Will they come in a reduced form? That depends upon the mentality of the individual and how they're responding. So we take up nicely, then it doesn't affect us. So then we don't need that. So it may be we don't get a reaction, or reaction is there, and so that others can benefit by seeing how we respond to the reaction. Does that make sense? 6 to 35. Soham tata yatishyami yata chitendriyanila yata na bhuya atmanam andhe tamasi madjaye. These are all spoken by the Vishnu Dutas, right? Oh no, this is Ajamil now. I am such a sinful person, but since I have now gotten this opportunity, I must completely control my mind, life and senses, and always engage in devotional service, so I may not fall again into the deep darkness of ignorance of material life. Vishnu, Ajamil, right? So this, you can see, this is the point of remorse. Because remorse, then you're going to take advantage of the opportunity and now become serious. Lamentation, I'm so useless, I can't chant, what's the whole point of doing this, and then I'm this disgusting.
This is basically, it takes on Abhideya.
Yes, that's the whole, then it takes on, yes, then it's part of the process. We see that, you know, that we're, things have gone wrong, but we move forward. We deal in the present and do something, rather than stay in the past. 6238. Mamaham iti dehadau hitva mityarta dhir matim. Tasye mano bhagavati shudham tat kirtanadivihi. Simply because I chanted the holy name of the Lord in the association of devotees, my heart is now becoming purified. Therefore, I shall not fall victim again to the false lures of material sense gratification. Right? False lures, because the sense, engaging the senses, it never gives any good result. We engage the senses and then we're not satisfied. Right? So that's the false lure. It appears that I will become happy by sense gratification, but we never do. So therefore, he'll give that up. He'll only engage the senses in connection with service. Right? That's the... Now that I have become fixed in the absolute truth, henceforward I shall not identify myself with the body. I shall give up false conceptions of I and mine and fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? So he's fixed in the absolute truth. Then he... That naturally comes. Right? 6246. Nata param karma dibandha kritanam mamukshatam kirta padanukirtanat nayat puna karmasu sajjate mano rajastamo bhyam kalilam tato nyata. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, and meditation in mystic yoga, because even after following such knowledge and meditation in mystic yoga, because... Oh. Yeah. Where is this going? So, but because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities again, unable to control his mind, which is the proper benefits from other methods, no, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance, Sukadev Goswami. Right? So this chapter, this one was... Then here, what was the point was being made? Okay, so the Vishnu Dutas who had rescued Ajamil came before him again when his mind was firmly fixed upon the form of the Lord. Vishnu Dutas had gone away for some time to give Ajamil a chance to become firmly fixed in meditation upon the Lord. Now that his devotional had matured, they returned to take him. Right? So that full absorption of the Lord, that then guarantees one going back to Godhead. So that's what we strive for. Now, it's not that something less than that won't be considered by the Lord and one gets the benefit anyway, but we try for this. This is the standard that we try for. In other words, we see Ajamiya, when he understood his position, this is what he tried for. Right? To be firmly fixed in the devotional service to the lotus feet of the Lord. Right? So that's the point. That's sannyas.
Is this like a variation of something we hear that go back to Godhead, but we're not completely purified in prema, and then when we're there, we're trained up to the final.
Yes.
So this is a little bit...
It's the same thing that you're doing here. If you come and you've chanted the holy name, it's still once you get serious.
Yes.
Like that. Not that, oh, then it doesn't matter, I can sit back, but then the problem is that you don't know how slow that will go. You want to take it slow, then Krishna will respond. Yes.
Like Vajana, we see that he was purified. Sin, but he doesn't speak much about love of God.
No, he speaks about just being absorbed in the Lord. That's why he's going to Vaikuntha. He'll develop that love for the Lord.
Is it still prema?
Yes, no, they get to pray. They just don't go beyond prema.
Or can we say that this point will be discussed later?
Yes, going beyond this, but the point is get to this point that the actual devotion means devotional service is the only actual process that works. No other process actually gets anything. And that then we see the essence of the process is to, under the direction of the spiritual authorities, to become fixed in hearing, chanting, and remembering the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Right? So that's the essence of the whole process. If that's understood, the whole process goes nicely.
Stages. First, the holy name delivered
Yes.
Yes. And the second part is he develops that up to the point he defends. Like
yes. Yes, you could say. Yes, you could say. But the point is they're going on the same. That means all the same thing. That his developing faith means that Baba is extended down to there.
Because many times devotees, they get confused because they see holy name is only the part that delivers one from sinful reactions from hell. So this is the main thing.
No, but that's just the part that they're noticing. What about all the other, that Laura's named differently? Yeah, in this story, but as we said, this is a progression that we're having to give up our attachment to morality. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, if you actually want to focus on the name, then it has to be exclusive taking shelter of the name. So we think that prayaschitta has a value, that means we're not exclusively taking shelter of the name, because exclusively taking shelter, all you need is the name. By the name only, you'll advance. By the name, you'll be purified. So the name is the process, the name is the goal. Is that? Yeah, so that means we have to give up this attachment. Yeah. Yes, a practical example. Chapter 3, Yamaraj instructs his messengers. Pratigya, my dear servants, please bring to me only those sinful persons who do not use their tongues to chant the holy name and qualities of Krishna, whose hearts do not remember the lotus feet of Krishna even once, and whose heads do not bow down even once before Lord Krishna. Send me those who do not perform their duties towards Krishna, which are the only duties in human life. Please bring me all such fools and rascals. Right? But if they've done once, they've chanted the name, they surrendered to the Lord, they worship the Lord, then they're not to bring them. Like that. Then the Lord and the material energy, they'll take care of them.
Right?
But if you're not doing that, that means Krishna and material energy aren't going to take care of you directly. Yamaraj will then deal with you. The pratigya of this chapter is taken from Text 29. Chapter 3 summarizes questions and answers.
This study guide wasn't developed by Swamiji.
No. He gave outlines of them, but he had only filled out first and second canto. Like that. But he gave the outlines, and I think he discussed with others, because he wanted others to go through and do this work, and then he would go through and then do the final putting it together. Why it has a different flavor or something.
Just because
you said
funny.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't seem like
this movement,
that's
right. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, that's another thing. But at least the structure of this is how it was worked out. Chapter 3 summarizes questions and answers. Maharaj Parikit asked Srila Sukadeva Goswami questions 6.5 and 6.6 of Srimad Bhagavatam. 6.5, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.31. King Parikit said, O my Lord, O Sukadeva Goswami, Yamaraj is the controller of all living entities in terms of their religious and irreligious activities. But his order had been foiled when his servants, the Yamadutas, informed him of their defeat by the Vishnu Dutas, who had stopped them from arresting Ajamil. What did he reply? Right, because he's, you know, death personified doesn't get stopped by anybody. Right? Like that. So what did he say when he finds out that they've been stopped? Right? Sukadeva Goswami answers this by quoting the dialogue between Yamaraj and his servants for the rest of the chapter. Yamaraj's specific reply is from verses 12 to 30. In summary, aside from one explaining the hierarchy of the various positions and systems of management in this world, verses 12 to 17, Yamaraj also too explains the rarity and characteristics of a devotee, verses 70 to 21 and 25 to 29. 3 shows the supreme power of the holy name, verses 22 to 24. 4 explains that chanting the holy name is available and applicable to everyone regardless of sin or piety. Right, so it's not restricted. That's the beauty of it. Right, so that's why we may take it as not so important, because that's something we all do, anybody can do it, so then we want something special and unique. No, but this is the real thing. Verses 20 to 26. And 5, that the spiritual process, Bhagavad Dharma, trumps all the rules of any other dharmas. There are no material rules or restrictions that can keep one from spiritual advancement, nor can any other process reward the eternal results of bhakti. Right? So that means any rule given in the Vedas, it will never get in the way of devotional service. If you understand how to use it, no rule gets in the way. So that's what Prithu Maharaj was showing and Priyavrata was showing. They were performing all the duties that generally an average king would do. But everything was connected to the Lord. So there's nothing that can stop. Bhakti is so powerful, no other process can get in the way. So therefore, the process of karma, jnana, yoga, they don't actually get in the way of bhakti. You can use them. But if you think that they're of value like bhakti, that's when they get in the way. So what gets in the way is our consciousness. Right? So that's the point. We trip and stumble over our own consciousness, not over other things. So that's why you want to avoid degraded consciousness. Then it goes down lower, it gets down so low you start tripping over it. Yes. Keep higher consciousness, you don't trip. Right? Simple. No? Yeah. Okay, that was in verses 14 to 30. Question 6.6, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.32. O great sage, never before has it been heard anywhere that an order from Yamaraj has been baffled. Therefore, I think that people will have doubts about this that no one but you can eradicate. Since that is my firm conviction, I kindly explain the reason for these events. Right. So, footnote 26. Question 6.5 was, what did Yamaraj apply to his servants? Whereas question 6.6 is, what is the reason for the unprecedented event of Yamaraj's being foiled? This is unusual because Yamaraj has always been infallible in his realm. So that's another point of, never happened before, won't happen again. Never happened before because, you know, they had never approached a devotee. Never happened again because they don't approach devotees anymore. Or don't approach anyone who's chanting the holy name.
But that also goes to show how good a story it is for the mission group.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah. So it's a one-time story. The reason this unprecedented event took place was so that Yamaraj could preach the process of bhakti to his servants, both for their benefit and for the benefit of anyone who hears this engaging story. As you see, is that many other stories and, you know, you get so many benefits and all that. But this one story was simply just, you know, you develop faith and go back to Godhead. Right? In some sense. It wasn't like, you know, king becomes king of kings, the Vaishya becomes the Vaishya of Vaishyas, and the Shudra becomes the devotee. Right? Like that. The above mentioned 5 points from the question 6.5 are very eloquently established through this dramatic pastime. Just so Yamaraj could establish Sri Krishna, whom he specifically mentions by name in verses 29 and 33. So it's not that Prabhupada translated this way. Yamaraj specifically says Krishna. Right? Because everybody knows it's Krishna who's the original form. Like that. That's just... Right? So when we say, you know, Hare Krishna, say, oh, we're just some branch. No, this is actually the main.
All the others are.
Yeah, all the others are branches, technically. Right? Vraja Bhakti is the original, then all the others expanded from there. So they're all bona fide, but they expanded. But because it's the most rahasya or most hidden, it appears that it's the one on the side. Yeah, that's nice. But for those who are looking from the other direction, we leave it like that. Because the point is, it has expanded, it is bona fide. As the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so he could show that the process of bhakti is beyond the rules and regulations of this world. right? So it's, yeah, that's, it's the only thing that's beyond. Bhakti is the only thing that's beyond. So we can't say, oh, we're beyond the rules and regulations, then someone does something wrong, oh, then there must be punishment. No, if we're beyond, we're beyond. We're controlled by the rules, then we follow the rules. So we still can't make up for things. Right? The most important that Yamaraj establishes that the person, that the purpose of all dharma is to gradually bring one's consciousness towards bhakti, or Bhagavad Dharma, and that without bhakti, all other dharmas are ultimately useless, as they will not satisfy the eternal soul. Footnote 27. Text 25 shows that, what to speak of the sinful men, even those who have maturely perfected dharma to the extent of becoming compilers of the Vedas, are still bewildered and cannot attain the ultimate goal beyond temporary happiness. They do not engage in bhakti. Right? So even Vyasadeva became bewildered when he was compiling the Vedic literatures that he didn't put enough emphasis on bhakti. So then Narad Muni, after his discussion, then he understood Achintaveda Veda Tattva and then saw everything in his proper perspective. Then he wrote the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Did Vyasadeva think so highly of his audience that they would be able to figure it out themselves?
It can be. A lot of times you just expect that they'll do.
Because if you see the Vedas, they actually do conclude that Krishna is the Supreme, right?
Yes, but the problem is people will take what they want and leave what they want.
Get caught up in the ritual.
Yes. We're back to our standard level of noise. Yes.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare